to Healing for Your Heart. Healing for Your Heart is a daily radio program brought to you by Amelia Kenya. God wants to dwell with you, to love, to guide, to protect, and to provide for your daily needs. God's design is for you to enjoy His presence. Healing for Your Heart is possible today. Here is your author and speaker, Amelia Kenya.
God's presence is your anchor in tough times. We concluded the last lesson by seeing four major principles. We said that we need to remember that silence does not always mean that God does not care. We also said that when you cannot see God, you should trust His word. When you cannot see God, trust His word. Number three, we said, wait on God. And number four, hold on to what God has told you until He speaks again. We had learned those principles from what Aaron had done. He had made a golden calf while Moses, the servant of God, was up on Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments for the children of Israel, commandments with which they were going to be led, or by which they would be led to the promised land. Let us ask God to help us today as we dive into today's lesson. Our Father, we present ourselves before you again. We bow down in reverence. We bow down in exaltation to your holy name. Father, we pray for your presence. We pray for your help. Lord, may you speak to us today. Guide us as we go through this lesson. Anchor us in yourself. In moments when our faith is weak, in moments when situations that surround us are tough, I pray that we will still find our place in you. I pray that you'll help us to ground ourselves and to have our roots in you. So be with us today. Please speak to your people. Speak to your children. We love you. We exalt you. For we have prayed this in Jesus' name. So after the children of Israel sinned and turned their hearts from God and decided to follow the idols of their hearts, and to worship those golden calves they had made, things never remained the same. After that kind of a trespass, God, who is light himself, could not associate with darkness. God, who is pure, who is holy, could not be equally yoked with sinners. And just as the Bible reminds us, that there is no fellowship between righteousness and unrighteousness, God would not commune in His own holiness, in His own righteousness, with a people whose hearts were diving into unrighteousness and into sin. God, who is light, was not going to prefer staying around Israel as they wallowed in darkness. There was not going to be an agreement between the temple of God and idols, just as God reminds us again in His word in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 17. So God did something that I find very interesting. He purposed that He was going to remain the God of the children of Israel, but He no longer would let His presence go with them to the promised land. So God asked Moses to proceed and to lead the children of Israel into the promised land without His presence. In fact, God assured His children that they would still attain the blessings He had promised them. They would inherit the land and they would even enjoy the milk and the honey. But instead of His presence, He was going to give them an angel. Now try and put yourself in the shoe of Moses, or put yourself in the shoes of those whom Moses is leading. And as you do that, let your imagination draw you closer to God. As you think of what was going on in Moses' life and what was going on in the children of Israel's lives and their minds as they journeyed. And let us look at what God told them as we read together Exodus chapter 33, verse 1 up to verse 5. Exodus chapter 33, verse 1 up to verse 5. This is what the Bible says. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart, and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, and to a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee. Look at the statement that follows. For thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will not go up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore, now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. So can you imagine Moses? Can you imagine taking care of millions of people in the middle of nowhere? And you are taking care of them for an unspecified period of time. We are talking of a people whose actions already, as we have seen, were unpredictable. At what point would Moses begin without God? What organizational skills did even Moses have in the wilderness to take care of these people? And how was he going to meet their daily needs? What about their safety? What did he have in place to ensure the safety of millions of people? Moses decided to go back to what he knew to do best. He petitioned God. We look at Moses' prayer to God in Exodus, the same chapter, Exodus chapter 33, but now verse 15 to 17. Moses petitioned God, saying, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Then look at what he tells God. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. I want you to note a principle I failed to give you at the very beginning as we began reading that scripture. Sin causes God to withdraw his presence from your life. Sin causes God to withdraw his presence from your life. But Moses knew the secret of bringing back the presence of God. Look at how he pleads. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us, so that we shall be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? And the Lord said unto Moses, we are looking now at verse 17, I will do this thing also, that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. This brings us to the second principle for this lesson today. God's presence distinguishes you as a child of God. It is God's presence that will distinguish you as a child of God. How important was the presence of God to Moses and to Israel? What was at stake that Moses did not want to proceed to the promised land without God? God was going to be in the midst, but what was it that he did not want to proceed if God's presence was not going to go with him and to go with the people? It is because Moses had learned this second principle. It was God's presence that distinguished him, that distinguished them as a people or as children of God. It was God's presence. God's presence and God's presence alone that made that very clear distinction as God led his children from Egypt through the wilderness. What did he do? Look at what he did, as the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, a scripture we have looked at, but let us read it again. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So God was always ahead of Israel. He was also behind them. You know, he was their leader as much as he was their protection. So God was literally everything to them. God demonstrated it, and he proclaimed it loudly and clearly that Israel was his own treasured possession. No other nation under heaven had ever seen or witnessed such a godly surrounding as God led and protected his children and provided for them and just moved among his people. You see, with God's presence, no one in his right mind would dare. No one in his right mind would dare scare Israel. No one would dare attack them. And for that reason, Israel was feared. For that very purpose, they were very powerful. Because of God's presence, Israel would defeat any army in the world, however fierce. As a matter of fact, no one had the courage to try after all that they had heard. In fact, the thought of it would just throw them into sheer panic. It would throw them into confusion. Their own hearts, their own knees would melt with fear. No one would dare fight back. Egypt, we have seen, had a very strong army. But God had brought that mighty army to a sudden end right there in the midst of the Red Sea. Israel was now envied because of God's presence. But without God's presence, Israel was nothing. They were cowards. Remember, this is the same immense group that had been held captive in Egypt for about 430 years. Without God's presence, the children of Israel were wimps. They could not stand against their own enemies. It is not true that Israel lacked the tools with which to fight. They had been subjected to hard labor. They had lots of farm implements that could easily be turned into tools. But how come they could not fight for themselves? How come they had not freed themselves? How come they had been subjected to that hard labor for these many years? How come those tools they had used for farming would not be turned into fears, weapons of war. It was because of God's presence. So it was God's presence that distinguished them. And it is God's presence that will distinguish you as a child of God in the world today. And then principle number three for today. God's presence separates you from other people. It was God's presence that separated Israel from all other people. If you look at the same scripture that we've read, Moses said, "So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." It was God's presence that separated Israel from the rest of the world. It was God's presence that made Israel different from all other nations on the face of the earth. It was God's presence that made them very unique and very peculiar people. And that is where we belong as Christians. Unique, peculiar people because of God's presence in us. There's no nation on the face of the earth that had witnessed God protect and fight for anyone as he did for Israel. We saw that at the Red Sea, God literally put his arms around his children. And at that time, he showed the world the great love that he had for his children, or the children of Israel. They were his own, and he was there for them. Yes, he was going to fight for them, and they were going to hold their peace. So what did God do? He took the pillar of cloud that went before Israel and it stood behind them. So the pillar of the cloud came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud. It was darkness to Egypt. Yet at the same time, it gave light by night to Israel. So none of them came close to one another all night long. So God kept a very safe distance between his children and their enemies as Israel was crossing the Red Sea on dry land that night. But the Egyptian army did not take clues from that pillar of cloud that resisted and kept them from Israel. They didn't. They still pursued them into the Red Sea. And it was there that God made again, yet again, another separation. We saw that the Lord, we read that scripture in the last lesson, the Lord overthrew the Egyptians right there in the midst of the sea. He troubled the host of the Egyptians. He took off the chariot wheels and he made it very difficult for them to drive. Then he didn't stop there. He caused the sea to return in its full strength. And it covered the chariots. It covered the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that had come into the sea after God's children. None of them remained. But I like the way God keeps things in perspective and he keeps and gives us a record of what happened. Before the army perished in the sea that day, the Egyptians had their eyes opened. Before they perished, he opened their eyes. In fact, it is recorded in Exodus chapter 14, verse 25, that they said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." But by the time they were saying that, it was too late. They had already gone way too far in their pursuit against the apple of God's own eye. It is true, times are perilous. Times are tough. But you will not make it without the presence of God. You will not make it without the presence of God. It is God's presence that is going to distinguish you as a child of God. It is God's presence that is going to distinguish us as a people of God. It is God's presence that is going to separate us from all other people. The pressure to succumb to worldly patterns will never get easier. The temptation to leave the God you have known to try what is pulling and tugging on your flesh is only going to intensify when God is farther and farther away from you. The lure to take others at their word. The lure to take what other people are also offering to you is only going to get worse and worse. That desire to draw away from God, remember we said, behind those drawings away, there is a lure, there is an enemy who is prowling. It is God's presence that is going to separate us. It is God's presence that is going to preserve us as Christians from the corruption of mind that is plaguing our society today from every side. It is only God's presence that is going to keep our minds sound. God's presence will preserve our vision so that we together, like the psalmist, we can say, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Without God's presence, we shall turn aside like everybody else. Without his presence, we shall cleave to idols. But it is God's presence that will keep us committed unto God. It is going to help us get committed to him in matters of our taste, in matters of our affections, even in matters of our own appetites. But without him, we shall continue to bite on the bait of the enemy. We shall get enticed. We shall get lured. I want you to remember, God's presence is your anchor in difficult times. And three principles that we have looked at today. Sin causes God to withdraw his presence from your life. Principle number two. God's presence will distinguish you as a child of God. Principle number three, God's presence will separate you from other people. I want us to read Exodus chapter 33, verse 15 and 16. That is the prayer of Moses that I would urge each one of us to make it our own prayer. Moses told God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Are you living and operating under the canopy of God's presence? Take a time and think about that. Are you living? Are you operating under the canopy of God's presence? Are you proceeding? Are you moving on with life without the presence of God? Have things gone bad because God has withdrawn his presence? Has sin caused God to withdraw his presence? Can you no longer be distinguished as a child of God? Are you no longer separated as a people of God, as a child of God, because God's canopy, God's presence is no longer abiding with you? But will you make Moses' prayer your prayer in life today? you can call on God. This can be your prayer for your life. You can tell Him, if your presence go not with me, carry me not up hence. Let me not go if your presence is not going to go with me. For then where shall it be known that I am your child, that I have found grace in your sight? If your presence does not go with me, then how shall I be separated? How will I be different from all the other people who live on the face of the earth? It is God's presence that is going to distinguish you as a child of God from the rest of the world. God's presence will give you protection. As we have looked at the account of the children of Israel, God's presence will fight for you. God's presence will preserve you. God's presence will separate you. God's presence will protect you from the corruption of mind. God's presence is going to keep you spiritually sound. God's presence will preserve you. It will preserve your home. It will preserve your children. It will preserve our communities. It will preserve our churches. It will preserve our nation. Won't you pray with us? Father, we are grateful again for an opportunity to be drawn back to you. Lord, it is true that you do not bruise a reed that has already been bruised. That little tender shoot that is struggling, you never bruise again. You never stomp on it and trample it underfoot. Instead, you nurture, you nourish, you breathe upon it. You give life again. You give strength. You give newness. And that is what we are seeking of you today. Lord, where sin has eaten, where we have been deceived to follow other cunning devices, other cunning ways of the enemy, may you bring us back to your path. Open our eyes to the cunningness of the enemy. Lord, we desire your presence. We desire to be distinguished as your children, as your people, from the face of the other, from the other people of the in the face all over the world. So help us today. Draw us to yourself. Heal us, Lord. Strengthen everybody that is coming to you today. Father, we love you. We exalt you today. Thank you for helping us. For we have prayed this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into Healing for Your Heart. You can contact Amelia Kenya through her website, ameliakenya.com. That's AMILIAHKENYA.com. There, you will also find spiritual resources through her following books: Prayer and Spiritual Warfare, Spiritual Victory for the 21st Century, Back to God for Healing, The Power of a Woman, and God's Presence, The Missing Something.